It's 7 a.m., February 24th, 1983. A young man in his early 20s is walking up Park Avenue in Midtown Manhattan, a copy of the New York Daily News in his right hand. He's wearing a suit and tie and reading as he moves, one arm pumping, eyes cast down at the sports section. He's bumping into people, throwing an occasional elbow.
Hey, watch it!
Hey, move!
The man stops at a light, unfolds the paper, and there it is, the words sprawled across the back page in bold black print. General Walker. The man, an intern at the NFL, reads the subheading aloud in disbelief.
Herschel Walker signs with USFL's New Jersey Generals for record money. I can't believe this. Crap!
Moments later, he arrives breathless at 345 Park Avenue, longtime palatial headquarters for the National Football League. As a college intern, he's always one of the very first to arrive, check the headlines, make some coffee, occasionally flick on the lights. But today, he steps off the elevator into a blizzard of activity. TVs are on, all blaring various news reports. People are pacing back and forth across the office, sharing their disbelief.
Can you believe this?
Is this for real?
The intern walks through the office to a door that reads Commissioner on a gold plate. The door is slightly ajar. He knocks as he gingerly steps in.
Mr. Roselle, do you want today's daily news, or can I get you any...
Pete Roselle looks up, scowls, and shakes his head, nodding toward a corner of his desk, where a stack of the day's newspapers already sit. The intern backs out slowly. Roselle, taking drags from a camel, continues talking with Patrick Lynch, the NFL's lead counsel. He's standing across from Roselle, a tall man with slicked back salt and pepper hair.
Look, I know the USFL's a nothing little league, and we probably should ignore them. And I know they want the attention from us. I get it, believe me. But you would agree this is no ordinary signing, right?
Lynch's arms are folded. He has no response. Roselle is correct. 2 months earlier, the United States Football League held its first ever college draft. And while a handful of top-shelf players signed with the fledgling league, the vast majority of men joining the USFL are either marginal prospects or non-prospects. Truth be told, the NFL has enjoyed many a good laugh watching the USFL bring on has-been quarterbacks and never-were defensive ends to their rosters of nobodies. But this is different. Herschel Walker isn't merely a 6'1", 225-pound halfback from the University of Georgia. He isn't merely a man who has rushed for 5,259 yards and 49 touchdowns over 3 seasons. He isn't merely the reigning Heisman Trophy winner or the finest college prospect in 3.5 decades. No. Herschel Walker is also a 20-year-old college junior. And the NFL does not draft college juniors. Roselle glares at the pile of newspapers again. The most powerful man in sports takes another long drag from his camel, then stubs it out in an ashtray.
Okay, if this is how the USFL wants to do this, this is how we'll do it. But this is war.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today.
You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In this episode, the United States Football League makes moves that infuriate the National Football League. The NFL can't just ignore the USFL, nor can it just buy its way out of this. No, they'll have to fight. It's hard to overstate the magnitude of Herschel Walker leaving the University of Georgia early to join the USFL. It's a football nuclear explosion. And the NFL never saw it coming. This is Episode 2, A General Triumph. It's January 17th, 1983, a couple of weeks after the USFL's first ever college draft. The man calling most of the shots is Steve Earhart, a former player agent and the USFL's executive director. Earhart is a warm and decent man. Even when he was facing down the NFL for a client, executives found him likable. Earhart doesn't lie or exaggerate. He believes integrity matters and that good behavior will be rewarded. He's sitting at his desk in the USFL's Midtown Manhattan office when the phone rings.
Hello?
Steve, this is Jack Manton. I'm Herschel Walker's representative.
Yes, Jack. How can I help you?
I want to talk with you about Herschel Walker.
Walker, the University of Georgia halfback, has just won the Heisman Trophy. The award was an absolute no-brainer. In 11 games, Walker rushed for 1,752 yards and scored 16 touchdowns. However, Walker is an underclassman, and the NFL only allows college players who complete their senior seasons to enter the league's draft. And the USFL is expected to do the same because, just because. Manton gets to the point.
Herschel wants to leave college and turn pro. He's ready to make a living, and the USFL can provide that.
Earhart is dumbfounded. Actually, not merely dumbfounded. He's terrified. The kickoff for the debut season is a month away. And the last thing the USFL needs is to be known as the entity that butchered Walker's remaining college eligibility. See, once a player signs with an agent or begins negotiating with a professional league, his time in the college ranks is over. There is no going back.
Look, even this conversation we're having now could cost him his NCAA eligibility. Jack, you know the rules. I don't even want to be talking to you.
Earhart is shaken. It's not supposed to be this way. The USFL is all about baby steps. In the weeks and months leading up to this point, the myriad owners and investors have decided to stress slow growth and gradual development. They all know too well the plight of the last league to come along and try to challenge the NFL. Back in 1974, while David Dixon was biding his time waiting for the New Orleans Saints to take off, something called the World Football League emerged. The league hyped itself as a fun, adventurous alternative to the established king. But the WFL couldn't sustain the weight of its financial burden and died midway through its second season. Perhaps the biggest culprit was John Bassett, owner of the Toronto Northmen. a successful Canadian businessman, Bassett forked over $3.5 million to entice a trio of Miami Dolphins stars to jump ship for the WFL. The move was a bit too rich for the league, and it guaranteed the league's death. The WFL simply could not financially sustain itself after that. Now, Bassett goes out of his way to warn his peers. His point? Don't spend like drunken sailors at a gentleman's club. Earhart has taken the words to heart, but he soon learns that the Herschel Walker Goes Pro machine has been revving up for some time. Herschel Walker's parents, Christine and Willis, live in tiny Wrightsville, Georgia, inside a dilapidated house on a dirt road. One night, they get an unexpected call. Willis reaches for the phone.
I'll get it. Hello, this is Willis.
Willis, the lone source of income, works as a tenant farmer, making $30 a week raising soybeans, peas, and cotton.
Yes, hello, Mr. Walker. I'm Bruce Allen. I'm a general manager with a new professional football league. You may have read about us in the papers, the United States Football League. We haven't started yet, but...
Oh, yeah, that's the new spring league, right?
Yes, that's right, sir.
Right. I heard something about that.
You and I both know your son has an outstanding future ahead of him in pro football. I've heard he might want to come out early. And obviously the NFL doesn't present that sort of option. But we might be able to do something.
Willis motions for his wife to come closer. He holds the receiver out for her to hear.
This is Herschel's mother. Go on. We're listening.
Mrs. Walker, we can make your son a generous offer to join our league, and soon.
The Walkers like what they hear. The Walkers need money, and they sure aren't getting any from the University of Georgia. And the USFL doubles down on the effort. On the night of December 28, 1982, Jerry Argovitz, a well-known player agent and future USFL owner, arrives at the Bourbon Orleans Hotel. Herschel Walker staying there in the lead-up to his Georgia Bulldogs playing in the New Orleans-based Sugar Bowl. Argovitz is accompanied by Ted Dietrich, owner of the Chicago Blitz, one of the new USFL teams. They knock on Walker's door and are invited inside. Manton, the agent, had given Walker a heads-up some USFL representatives might be coming. Argovitz quickly introduces himself and then gets right to the reason they're paying Walker a visit.
Herschel, this is Dr. Dietrich. He runs the Chicago Blitz of the new USFL.
It's nice to meet you.
Right. Doc, don't you have something you want to give to Herschel?
Oh, yes, I do. Hold on.
Dietrich reaches into his pocket, then pulls out an envelope.
Herschel, this is for you.
This is a check for $1 million, with my name on it.
That's right. We want you to join the USFL, and we're ready to pay what you deserve.
I'm sorry, but I can't accept this right now.
Herschel, this isn't meant for you to accept now. It's to show you that these people are serious, okay? This is a cashier's check. You take it to any bank in America and cash it, you'll walk out with $1 million in your pocket. This is just to show how serious the USFL is, okay?
Wow. Just... wow.
When USFL Executive Director Earhart learns how the Walkers were enticed to join the USFL, he is not happy about it. But Chet Simmons, the league's commissioner, is far from angry. Simmons makes his case to Earhart at the USFL headquarters.
Look, leagues come and go, but stars, they're eternal. They grab people. They make people watch. TV shows need stars, and sports leagues need stars.
He looks Earhart in the eyes.
Steve, is Herschel Walker a star who can carry a league?
Honestly, I think he is.
In that case, I say we jump on this one.
A couple of hours later, Earhart reaches back out to Walker's agent, Jack Manton.
Here's what we can do. Our official offer is a $1 million annual contract plus loads of incentives.
Manton is thunderstruck, but he doesn't let on.
That's a good start, but Herschel wants to decide on his team. You can't expect him to play in Birmingham or Tampa, can you? He's a superstar, and we want to establish him as the marquee name in all of sports.
Where do you have in mind?
One place. New York.
We have a team in New Jersey.
That's close enough.
For the United States Football League, Herschel Walker's arrival is a gift from the gridiron gods. But the NFL, eternally the only show in town, doesn't take the news of college's biggest star slipping from its grasp lightly. It's going to have to play dirty and sidestep a few rules to get what it wants.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
.345 Park Avenue, NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle's office. The cigarette smoke is thick. So is the anxiety. Herschel Walker will be going to the United States Football League. Wait, Rozelle thinks. That makes no sense. Herschel Walker will be going to the United States Football League? This is Rozelle's 23rd year as NFL Commissioner. And through the myriad highs and lows, he has only made one truly regrettable mistake. The decision to allow games to be played the weekend of John F. Kennedy's 1963 assassination. The move haunted him, and no matter how many times he tried to explain away the blunder, it never felt right. Even those who saw Rozelle as a bully and a thug recognized his genius when it came to guiding a league. Under Rozelle's leadership, the NFL grew in value, in status, in name recognition. It is no exaggeration to say Rozelle made the NFL into the most successful sports league in the world. And yet, with the Walker signing, he's beginning to doubt himself. The USFL is planning on playing in 8 NFL locations, and all of the new franchises will be sharing stadiums with National Football League teams. Rozelle thought to fight this, to put pressure on the stadiums to keep the USFL out, but in the end, he decided it was unnecessary. Then, a month ago, the USFL held its first ever college draft, nearly 4 full months before the NFL conducts its draft. Rozelle wasn't worried at first. He was sure no college senior would pick a new, untested league over the NFL. But then,
the USFL draft happened, and one by one, highly touted college seniors signed with the new league. Craig James of Southern Methodist, gone to the Washington Federals. Gary Anderson of Arkansas, snapped up by the Tampa Bay Bandits. Irv Eatman of UCLA, David Greenwood of Wisconsin, Trumaine Johnson of Grambling, all sure-shot NFLers, all signed contracts with one of the 12 United States Football League franchises. It was good money, combined with a unique opportunity. In his mind, Roselle chalked it up to beginner's luck and the power of a shiny new toy. Plus, while all of the newly signed USFL-bound players were wanted by the NFL, they weren't projected to be future icons. Roselle wasn't shaken. After all, the last league to challenge the NFL, the World Football League, collapsed. Roselle figures this is a similar scenario. But then, Herschel Walker. Friggin' Herschel Walker. Roselle tosses the papers into the trash can. He calls Gil Brandt, VP of Player Personnel for the Dallas Cowboys. Known as one of the savviest football gurus in the history of the game, Brandt had seen Walker play a half dozen times at Georgia. He rightly considers him a transcendent talent. He also knows that, growing up in Wrightsville, a young Herschel dreamed of one day wearing the silver and blue uniform of the Cowboys, America's most beloved football team. Roselle skips the chit-chat and gets to his reason for calling.
You see the news?
I sure did. Damnedest thing, isn't it?
You know, the kid apparently loves the Cowboys.
You want me to make a call?
I don't think it can hurt. Just keep it quiet.
Later that afternoon, Brandt, 50 years old, with a deep voice, calls Jack Manton, Walker's agent.
Jack, what if I told you we could find a way to make Herschel a Dallas Cowboy right now? And we could offer y'all more money than that new league?
I thought y'all don't take underclassmen.
Exceptions can be made. Did you really sign a contract?
Not yet, just agreed to terms. Let me check with my client and get back to you.
I'll be here, waiting.
As soon as he hangs up, Brandt calls back Roselle. The commissioner, usually calm and reserved, sounds unusually excited. His voice is louder than normal. His words come quickly.
What can you tell me?
I think it might be good news. The agent's checking with Walker, but he says he hasn't signed anything just yet. I told him we'd make an exception. Now, you're okay with that, right?
Business is business.
Later that day, Brandt is at home when the phone rings. It's Jack Manton, presumably prepared to ditch the USFL for the NFL.
What can you tell me, Jack? You ready to negotiate and make Herschel Walker a Cowboy?
There is uncomfortable silence from the other end. Manton is a warm man. Despite working in a field filled with rejection, he takes no pride in doling it out.
I'm sorry, Gil, but Herschel feels like he gave the USFL his word, and he needs to keep that.
Jack, are you f***ing with me?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Later that night, after procrastinating, Brandt gives Roselle the bad news.
You mean Herschel Walker is picking the USFL over us? Over us?
Yes. Yes, he is. Next time on Business Wars, we'll head into the opening season of the USFL when footballs fly, rain pours, fans sprinkle stadiums, and the NFL begins to doubt the new league is just a goofy passing fancy and instead a real threat.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
We
We should say something briefly about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Jeff Perlman wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Emily Frost edited this story. Our editor and producer is Jenny Lauer Beckman. Sound design by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect forever.